Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, November 17th, a week before Thanksgiving. Rachel is out. I'm joined once again by Kay Brand.
Good morning.
Kay, welcome.
Hi.
And so you can always count on me being here. The co-host, not so much. But you're always there to help, and I really, really appreciate it, Kay.
So
we'll try to make it pleasant for you. I know you make a long drive. And we appreciate that.
Where are the appetizers, as I said on Wednesday? You want to make it, there should be a breakfast spread when I come in here.
That's donuts, true. Did you say Danish? That? Because I would have, if you said that and it sank in, I probably would have brought you something.
From now on.
Yeah, right?
Because I'll be here next week, probably.
Probably, right? Yeah. At this rate, I'm telling you. Yeah. So how you doing? Everything good? You ready for the weekend?
Definitely ready for the weekend. It's been a crazy week.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So what, you've been just busy working and things like that?
Well, yeah, I'm always busy working, but we had 2 days of nominations in the adult industry. We had the XBIZ nominations on Wednesday night, and then last night was the AVN nominations.
Okay, and you got nominated?
I did.
Ah, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Are you feeling good about it? No, you wanted more nominations?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's hard. It's the right thing to do is to say, I'm just grateful to be recognized at all. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just grateful. No, I am grateful to be nominated. However, the categories that my movies were overlooked for are shocking.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Adventures with the Baumgartners and Forked, my X-rated cooking show, were both nominated for AVN. And it's how this happens is because last year, Forked won the XBIZ Award for Best Couples Themed Release of 2017. It missed AVN's nomination because I forget exactly how it missed the nominations. But
like it fell through the cracks or something as far as dates go?
No, it didn't fall through the cracks, but it see, AVN and XBIZ have different qualifiers for what movies can be nominated and what movies can't. Where XBIZ says your movie only needs to be available.
Right.
It doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter where, if it's one site or many, it needs to be available and we'll nominate it, okay?
Gotcha.
By September, the end of September is always the cutoff for AVN and XBIZ nomination period. They're cycles, right, that go into the January awards that happen every year. Yeah. And AVN is different. AVN says you have to have at least two distributors that your movie is live on. And when the AVN nominations had their cutoff date, Forked was only on one site.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that was it. It had, you know, now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But it missed it because of a technicality. So they represented it. They acknowledged it this year.
Oh, okay.
Even though the movie came out last year, came out in 2016.
Yeah.
But it got nominated for best, AVN nominated for best comedy. Of course, it didn't get nominated for XBIZ because it's already won an award. It already won their award in January for best couples themed release. But this year, it's got best comedy and a best boy-girl sex scene with Mercedes Carrera, Marcus Linden, and Tony DiSergio. And then Adventures with the Baumgartners got best polyamory feature with AVN.
They got
nominated.
A lot of different categories.
I got nominated
for
gazillions. I mean, I'll send you the link. You can't believe. I've never seen so many categories from both XBIZ and AVN. They've increased the categories.
Wow.
And I think that they're smart.
Takes forever to give out all these nominations.
Well,
and
there's only a certain amount of awards that actually are announced live.
Right.
As in somebody standing at the podium and,
just
and
like
announcing
the Oscars,
it, opening
right?
up an envelope,
a lot is
and you go on stage, right. and the rest of them are scrolled up on a screen.
Right.
So, like last year at the XBIZ Awards, the awards that I won, my movies took three or four awards. four words. And none of them happened on stage. They were all scrolled on screen. So you're shouting and screaming in the audience, but you're not going up on stage, which is fine. Who cares about going up on stage? Because really, I'm usually wearing shoes that are too difficult to walk in anyway. So
tell me something now. Like the Oscars, does your value grow in the industry if you win something?
You would think.
Right.
I mean, acknowledgement's always good, but I only made 2 movies this year for Adam and Eve. So it's not
But that should be enough, I mean, to at least... show the quality of your work and everything. I would think it was strengthen.
It's always
your
good to be nominated,
portfolio.
But there are a lot of really quality people who are completely overlooked this year on both Expos and AVN. I mean, performers.
Really?
Completely overlooked. And part of it is there's a lot of new people on behind the camera and in front of the camera that joined the industry over this past season.
Yeah.
And I was surprised how many nominations some of these new people got.
Yeah. You know what I noticed is we have a couple of like adult entertainment shows here, and what I noticed is, having run the station for 10 years, the stars really changed. I mean, the people that are prominent, the actors, whatever, it changes. After 2-3 years, they're like, you know,
what?
Flame away
some of them.
And then, or flame out, whatever the word is. But they just sort of disappear and you have new people. Because sometimes I wonder, well, what happened to her? She was like the hottest thing, but that was like 3 years ago. So today, you keep saying new girls coming in all the time. So I see what you're saying.
It was funny, like when I was filming Forked, I had some of the cast members are new to the business, got in around 2012, 2013, and that's when I took a break and left for 2 years from filmmaking.
Okay.
And when I came back, they had no idea who I was, even though I'd won awards before they even got into the industry. You know, they don't look at the history. Or they do, but they only know like some of the top people that are most prolific, like Axel Braun or somebody, a directors from Wicked, or maybe some of the old school Adam and Eve directors or Digital Playground, but they wouldn't know, they don't know Kate Brandt.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But they got to know me.
Yeah.
And then they got to be in an award-winning movie.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. You see, you have a lot to offer. You don't need to have public acknowledgement.
No, I got nominated for Best Director, both Expos and AVN.
Well, that's
AVN
good.
Also acknowledged me for Best Screenplay. Adventures with the Baumgartners is nominated for Best Polyamory Movie, and it's the sequel to Babysitting the Baumgartners, which won the Best Polyamory Award, AVN, in January for 2017.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's all good. It's just Adventures with the Baumgartners has 10 sex scenes in it, and they're gorgeous, beautiful, artistic, erotic sex scenes that I painstakingly directed every detail, you know, and wanted them to be perfect. Not one of the sex scenes in Adventures with the Baumgartners was nominated for AVN. One of them was nominated for Expos.
Right.
But not one.
Maybe there's no room for this, like, woman's vision of how...
No, there's plenty of room and plenty of women filmmakers nominated. You have to... You know, it's easy to, like, make guesses, but unless you're actually looking at the data, at the hard information...
So why is it, like, difficult like that? I mean,
no, I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason. This is what I'm saying. Like, I've never
Are they looking really for, like, just gonzo hardcore? Is that what they look
no,
for?
No, they have... They like I said, they have extensive categories.
Right.
Boy, girl, boy, girl, group sex... Orgy, blowjob, blowbang, gangbang. Right. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Interracial, anal, all girl.
Anything possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any possible combination, you get there.
But I made a 10-sex scene epic, and not one sex scene was recognized from that in AVN, which is just like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did that only one performer in the entire movie and
Maybe
had a pretty big
kiss
cast?
Ass
not,
there, no?
I do kiss no, ass.
Really?
And I'm constantly interviewed, and my movies get 5-star reviews from them the time. If they know who I am,
contact them. Ask them what the
hell
is going on.
No, it's not even. There's not even a point because they don't even have the answer. You know what the answer is? We have thousands of titles, and the wealth has to be spread around a little
right.
bit. You know.
Now let me ask you: is this like the Academy where people vote, or is that just so it's not just the organization itself that decides?
Well, yes, people do vote,
like your colleagues and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, everybody votes, but my colleagues vote for their own movies.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. Unless they're not nominated, then they'll vote for other filmmakers, but it's It's the entities themselves that make the final decisions. XBiz makes the final decision. Doesn't matter how many votes a movie gets. Right, right. And AVN, same way.
Yeah.
We don't really know what goes on behind the closed doors of either one of those companies. But when you see how many things were overlooked, you have to... My first impression is that...
You know what? Hold your thought, because I totally forgot to introduce that we're going to have...
Oh, so sorry.
And we just let the time fly... And we haven't really introduced the guest.
I'm a conversation whore. I'll steal the topic and run with it. You know. You know, so I'm perfect for radio.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be joined this morning by Erica Walker. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in. She's like, the first thing she hears is like, I'm a whore of talking. But
I know. Yeah. I'm a risk. I'm a risk on this show because of the things I talk about.
Yeah, there's some loose guns here sometimes, Erica.
Well, good. Yeah, well. It should be fun.
Hi, Erica.
There you go. So I'm joined by Kay today. It's not Rachel you're talking to. Kay is filling in for Rachel today. So we're going to have a fun conversation, Erica. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Chicago. Chilly Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that where you're from, Kay?
No,
you're not from Chicago.
No.
I don't know why I get confused, because I got to tell you, Erica, a lot of people I meet here in L.A. are from Chicago. So I don't know what that is, you know. If you think it personally.
Great people are everywhere, and great people are from Chicago. That's what it is.
That's awesome. Is that where you grew up too, Erica, or did you move there from somewhere else?
I grew up in Chicago, but then I lived in D.C. for a long time as well, maybe 12, 13 years.
Oh, what did you do in D.C.?
Yeah.
Politics?
No. I'm a good person.
Oh, okay.
No, I went to undergrad at Howard University, and then I worked there after that. So I was in hotel management for a little while, and then did some consulting in that area for a while.
Ah, interesting. So so you got into the hospitality business. What attracted you to that? How did you end up in that?
Well, I did that initially because back in high school, they had one of those career days, and hospitality management was one of them, and I enjoyed the fast pace. I enjoyed the people. I enjoyed the travel and all that good stuff. So I did that for probably 3 or 4 years. And then I discovered, I'm working a million hours. I'm never off on holidays, and I'm not making a lot of money.
Yes.
I think I'm going to switch to something else.
That's the same thing about retail jobs, too.
So you wanted, you decided that's it. You know, I need to do something else. So what was that then? What decision did you make?
Well, actually, I went back to school, and while I was in school, the mortgage rates back then were really low, and so I was working part-time while I was getting my master's at a mortgage company. And then the money got really, really, really good, so I stopped going to school then and started working for a mortgage company and then opened my own with two of my friends, believe it or not.
Wow.
And I knew nothing about that at all, but it happened to be that it was just really lucrative at the time, and we were opening offices for this guy, and he stopped paying us. That's a whole long story, and because we weren't getting paid after a while, we were like, well, we could do this for ourselves, so we did.
Yeah,
so very
cool.
We made a ton of money for a couple of years, and then we went broke.
How do you end up being broke?
I know. I've had a couple of lives here, I tell you.
Yeah, let me tell you. Well, you've been around, you know, up and down, so you know what's going on. You know, at least you'll be prepared for it. Yeah, very interesting. So, Erica, tell us what it is that you do now. And, I mean, I understand you're a speaker. You do a lot of consulting, things like this, coaching. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, essentially, I develop people. And so I do that through a lot of training and a lot of coaching. If I'm working with corporations, the training is often in diversity and inclusion, which, of course, is really important right now. I do that in terms of leadership development training, particularly those that might be maybe at that director level. And aspiring to go to maybe a VP level and above. And then I do coaching really at all levels. Most of the time, though, with women, who are trying to navigate both their business life and personal life and find some balance, or maybe they're trying to transition from a corporate environment to an entrepreneurial type of environment.
Right.
Or they're just, you know, transitioning period. Sometimes we're having aging parents, so we're working, we have our own kids, and we're caring for other people. So that's where I spend most of my time now. And I just wrote a book, A Woman's Vault, and that's really focused on women as well.
Oh, congratulations on that. What's the title of the book?
The book is called A Woman's Vault, Unlocking the 7 Secrets to a Remarkable Life.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So this is aimed toward women and everything, because obviously you're familiar with that experience and so forth. So, Secrets to a Remarkable Life. I'm glad you're focusing on women and stuff, because I think women are not represented enough, I think, in the business world and so forth, you know.
There are a lot of women represented in the business world.
I know.
A lot of CEOs, a lot of...
No, I know. But the thing is that I don't know that there's enough stuff written for them. You know, you have like Leaning In or Lean In and all that stuff. But at any rate, don't argue with me on everything. Okay, just go along. So, Erica, tell us...
Well, we're represented, but not as much as men on boards and at the CEO level. We're definitely there.
Right,
but,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Not in the same percentages as men on boards and CEOs.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the book. What brought it about for you?
I didn't hear your question.
What brought about the book? Why did you decide to write a book on this particular topic?
You know what? It's so funny. I feel like I've been writing this book my entire life.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody, you know, when you're growing up, you've got stuff in your family and you kind of figure out how to navigate through that. And you know, I did that like everybody else. And then, you know, by the time I got to high school, I felt like people were always asking me about things. How do you do this and that? And I'm answering unconsciously, not knowing really where I'm getting it from. But I'll tell you, when I was in college my freshman year, my first love, it's the summer after my freshman year, and I come home. I was in D.C., as I mentioned. My boyfriend at the time was at Purdue. And so we're having this great romance, and it turns out that he was a drug addict, and I didn't know. So sometime between graduating from high school and this freshman year, he became a drug addict. And so I was not familiar. I was not around people like that. So, you know, it took me a minute to figure it out. You know, I was taken for a loop for a little while. And so the process was really significant. And once I went through it, I not only went through it, but I felt like I thrived afterwards. And right after that, I started to think about, you know, deliberately, what did I use to move through that situation? You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody has their own thing, right? But what did I do to not only move through it, but to thrive afterwards and not have it to be, you know, baggage that I'm carrying around.
Right.
And so after that, I just started to pay attention to different things I would experience. And, you know, what are some things that I'm repetitively using that are helpful? And I started to share it with friends.
Right.
So it's a large part of why the book came about. And I'll also tell you, around this time, Oprah started to get really popular. And I remember seeing her, and you know, everybody loves Oprah, but I remember thinking, man, that should be me.
Yeah.
I always had this feeling that I was supposed to have this huge impact on like millions of people, that I was supposed to awaken something in them. Not that what I'm saying is terribly new, but that I was supposed to awaken and knowing that that's already there. So, you know, all of that collectively is the impetus for the book.
Sounds great.
Wow.
A Woman's Vault,
yeah.
Unlocking the 7 Secrets to a Remarkable Life, Erica Walker. So how can people contact you? Do you have a website that people can check out some of your services and everything?
Absolutely. So if they're interested in the book,
right,
itself and any speaking on women's issues, the website is theericawalker.com.
Okay.
So that's T-H-E-E-R-I-K-A.
Right.
Walker.com. And for any of the other services in terms of diversity and coaching and all of that kind of stuff from a corporate perspective, it's thewalkerthomasgroup.com.
Okay, sounds great. And if you on social media too, if people want to contact you, are you like on social media, Instagram, Facebook, any of those?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
So we can find you there.
I'm on Facebook under author Erica Walker.
Okay.
And on Twitter with Erica W. Thomas.
Okay.
And on LinkedIn, Erica Walker.
Sounds good. Everybody wants to get a hold of Erica. Definitely a lot of... a lot of experience, a lot of wealth of great information and stuff in the book. Sounds interesting. A Woman's Vault by Erica Walker. Erica, thank you so much for calling us this morning. And
thank you.
Of course, of course. How's the weather there? Are you guys cold already? Do you feel like it's Thanksgiving?
It is. Yes.
Really?
It is so weird because it's been so mild the last few years, but not this year. The high today is 46.
Oh, my God.
And,
we're sitting here in 70-degree weather.
Yeah. I know.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous.
Well, you're welcome to the studio every time you're in L.A. If you're ever here and stuff, we'd love to have you. And
I would love to do that.
Yeah, and share some of our sunshine with you. So there you go.
Thank you.
All right, Erica. All the best to you. Have a happy holiday. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All right. Same to the two of you. Thanks for having me.
Bye, Erica. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, you know, I mean, always great when people seek out to help other people, you know, through their experiences. You know, you learn. It's like I think you go through life and you go through experiences and you go, you know what, I can share some of this with other people, you know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. So there we are. Do you want to talk about Al Franken?
How about the sexual allegations?
Yes, by this LA, she's on ABC Radio, 790. And her name is Leanne Tweeden. And apparently she was forcibly kissed and groped by Al Franken years ago. So, like in 2006, I guess.
And yeah, I read some of that.
Yeah, and there's a picture of him, like, grabbing her boobs while she's sleeping. Have you seen that?
No, but how'd they get that picture? Who
and
took that?
And he's looking at this.
Was it a security
he's
camera?
He's posing.
Oh, what an
no,
asshole.
No, he's posing. There was probably no security cameras at the time. This is like, you're talking 10 years ago or something out, you know, the USO tour or something, backstage, she said. So, and then he wanted to rehearse a kiss with her and thrust his tongue in her throat and all that. So it's like, you know, it's a terrible thing. All these allegations that are coming out, you know, who knows how many of them are true, how many are not. But the bottom line is we do have a phenomenon right now where women are going to speak out more than they have before. And...
which is good.
And, yeah, it is. But it shows you that there's no, like, political lines. There's no, like, social lines. There's no nothing. I mean, this thing exists everywhere, you know, on every level in this country. Doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. You see, it's all going to come back to bite you in the ass. So so some people better shut up if they have a less than stellar past, you know. Because he, like... When some stuff started coming out, he had things to say about those allegations about those men.
Right.
And now he's one being accused himself. So, and he apologized and all this, but he invited an investigation of him. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, it's just, I think it goes years and years of placating, building stardom, creating an infallible... energy around celebrities,
right.
That they're immune,
right.
And that they can do whatever they want, and they will be protected, especially men,
right, in power positions,
mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, I know. That sucks, man. That sucks. But it's amazing how many people, And I think guys too, you know, or maybe when they're younger and boys and stuff, because you can see like with Kevin Spacey and all this stuff that both boys and girls are exploited. And it's like, you know, it's like, I mean, I understand one thing about adults and everything, it's terrible enough, but with kids that have, can give you no consent, you know, they can't, they don't understand what the hell's going on.
I think
to exploit that to me is really hard to look at. It's hard to really accept.
But, yeah, I think we're still, you know, no court date has happened. We're just getting sides. We're just getting he said, she said. But
right.
We don't have whole
right.
stories.
No, we don't.
None of
but
us
when
were
they
there.
Apologize and shit, you know, the like Louis C.K. and Al Franken did not deny anything. So Kevin Spacey did not deny. So what I'm saying is that, you know, they're in deep shit. You know, they know it. But today it's hard to hide any of that stuff, you know?
Now it is.
Yeah. Today it's hard to hide, yeah. I know. Dog owners, do you have a dog? Dogs?
I do.
Do you?
I've always had dogs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that dogs can actually help people live longer. Now, they're saying this. This affects more people that live alone than people that are like in a family with a dog, you know?
Uh-huh.
So in other words, when it becomes your like sole companion, I guess, it reduces your health risk by, your death risk by 33%. Wow.
Unless you're walking
something?
The dog and
right,
the dog
and
starts chasing after something and yeah. takes you into the middle of an intersection and you get hit by a car.
Yeah, right. Do you have a big dog or is
I
it
do.
Small?
I've always had big dogs.
Really?
Yes.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never had a dog except when I was living with my kids while they were growing up, you know, and stuff before we divorced and stuff. But so that was the only time I had a dog is when my kids had a dog and we had chihuahuas. And of course, I was the one stuck with taking care of it. But I remember feeling that, and to this day, I love dogs, but I have a problem with some dog owners, okay? Because they'll take a dog anywhere where it's not appropriate. They expect you to accept the dog everywhere. And I don't think that's cool. I know enough people that have dogs and they know better. You know, if someone comes to the station and brings a dog with them, that's bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
You don't come to the station bringing a dog with you. What's
I was
the
at
point?
CVS the other day, and there was a woman who I thought was talking to herself.
Yeah.
Like, in the aisles, you know? And I'm uh-huh. thinking, oh, my God, she's nuts. She fits the profile of nuts. She looks nuts, you know? She's older, and she's got crazy hair. Like
oh
not,
my God.
Yeah, like, wearing a weird outfit and slippers. And she keeps bending over to something I can't see because there was a little tiny chihuahua in a blanket in the shopping cart that she was pushing around CVS.
And she was talking to
it. And I couldn't see it because she was big and she was blocking the view into her. So I'm like, oh my God, this crazy bitch is talking to herself. Right? I'm thinking it the whole time. I'm like, and then I end up getting behind her online on the checkout line, and then I see the dog is revealed. And the way she's, oh, my poor baby, oh my, and she's asking the dog questions like the dog has an opinion. Like the dog is going to give her some sound advice. Well, what do you think, baby? You think that I should, well, should mommy do? What should I? And I just wanted to, like, strangle her. Really.
I know. Don't you want to go crazy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I mean, really, I understand that little dogs, especially chihuahuas, have a very hard time being alone because they get major separation anxiety and the whole holy hell that they wreck on your house.
They really do.
Yeah. It's not worth it. So they take them out. I get that. Okay. Now, I had a dog. I had a German Shepherd years ago who's passed away. But I, for a while, was thinking she would be a great therapy dog. But you have to have dedicated time to put them through training. And it's very
true.
Hard when you're working and all that to find that time. Because it's not like it's the training is several days a week and it's hours. And you have to be dedicated then to taking the dog to hospitals or convalescent homes
right.
and having them. Because, you know, there's a lot of benefit for seniors or people who are fighting major health issues, injuries, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sickness, illnesses, the dog comes to sit by them, and just petting
right.
the dog gives
yeah.
them a sense of calm and sense of well-being.
Yeah.
And I thought this is this dog's purpose, you know, but I wasn't able to do that. And I had a lot of guilt that I denied this dog a destiny. But there's only so much we can do as humans. See that, you know, when you're training a dog for service, then yeah, bring them. But if you're just like, I can't, the dog has to come with me everywhere. And
yeah,
I'm going to have
and
to
they
be
do,
a
and yeah. You see all these like spoiled, you know, brats bringing their friggin', you know, dogs with them. And I'm going, what the hell, man? Don't you have some respect for other people?
No.
I mean, you share space here with so many different people. They leave dog hair. They leave, you know.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God. There was a woman last night. Where the heck was I? I must have been at a grocery store. Yeah, I was at Vaughn's. And there was a woman in front of me who was covered in dog hair from her shoulder.
Oh, my God.
Like, her shirt. Her stretch pants, the whole thing. She was wearing black, and literally, she was like a walking rug. She had so much hair on her, and I was like, ew, like, you're taking that into a grocery store, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, well, so I'll tell you a short story. One time, my son came into town. I went to meet him. He comes out of the house, his mom's house. He's full of dog hair and a black shirt. I said, I hope you don't leave the house like this when you go out. So later he revealed to me that really pissed him off or hurt him or whatever. I'm like, are you shitting me, man? I'm just trying to give you some advice.
You know,
what is it?
You're a parent now and you can't even say one thing to your kid without him freaking out?
That's what I'm fucking saying, you know? Yesterday I was reading a very interesting article that the kids are not the most important thing in our lives. What's most important thing is the family, the foundation that makes those kids possible.
Right.
And
I think that's true.
The parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true.
And we let, and they're saying what happens is when we let the kids be the most important thing, then we get a generation like now that become like really like entitled and they expect things from us. They don't have respect. And I see that all the time. It's unfortunate. You know, he says in the article, he says, when we were kids, our parents were, we had to respect them. Whatever they said went. And today it's not like that.
Well, yeah, my generation, the teenagers in the 80s, we found ways to work around what our parents said. It was like...
No, of course, but
the more you could get away with, the better.
That's true, but what I'm saying is, it's not like I don't know. It's a whole different thing. I feel very differently the way I treated my parents, and to this day,
right,
than my kids.
Yeah,
but it's different circumstances too, because I did not come from a divorced family, whereas my kids have. So
there are a lot of divorced parents, a lot of divorced families, a lot of single moms that raise kids, and they raise wonderful children.
Right.
They, you know, so when we make blanket statements about, well, this generation, that generation, we're all guilty of that, we're basically saying that they're all like this. And there are
we're not saying they're all. I think we're just sort of like generalizing in order to, see, we need to organize information as human beings to understand, you know. But I think it always goes without saying that not everybody, but I think every generation has its characteristics, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't, you know. I meet some great, great young people every day, you know.
Yeah.
They're amazing. So maybe it's just an age. Maybe they take longer to mature. I don't know what the hell, man. But at any rate, so that's dogs. I wanted to bring up something funny last night. I was like up late because I got this new video game, and I don't play video games that much.
Okay.
Or rarely at all. I used to a lot when my kids were growing up. And I played just about every action game. Now, I can't get into them. But then Call of Duty World War II just came out, and I thought, I got to get this, right? Because this is like a war game, but you're like a soldier in World War II.
Got it.
And they'd made games like this before, but that was 20, 25 years.
Yes.
So they pretty much recreated that. It's so realistic, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
So, but the funny thing was, I'd been sitting outside before I came inside to sit at the PS4. So I was wearing a T-shirt and a sweatshirt and a thick coat because I had a cigarette outside. Also smoked a joint on my balcony, whatever. So it was cold, you know. So I went back inside, sat down with all this warm clothes to play the game. Now, I didn't even realize, because the moment you sit in front of that game, you sucked in, right?
Yeah.
You start to get killed, and you come back, and you're like, there's that Nazi and that Nazi. And you shoot all the Germans and shit. Before I know it, man, I'm feeling like I'm about to throw up and faint. I felt I was
going to... You were overheated.
I was overheated, okay? Wow. That's what I realized. I thought, shit, man, I'm going to faint in any minute here.
Wow.
And it's not dehydration because I drink all the time.
Right.
But you were piled on with clothes. I was piled on with clothes and the adrenaline is going. You know, and then suddenly...
You could have given yourself a heart attack.
I know. I became aware I was sweating.
Yeah.
Under all this, I said, what am I doing?
Oh, Sam.
Isn't that fucked?
Sam.
Man, I could have fucking fainted right there.
Yeah.
Passed out.
Imagine those headlines.
I mean, you know, my head was spinning because it's also from the fast movement of the video game. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's stimulating you.
It really is.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And you know how some people can't play it because it makes their head spin and stuff? Yeah. It's not easy.
I have zero tolerance or patience for playing video games.
Really? I know.
I liked them when I was younger, but I think I'm just way too serious. And I see it as that's the game of the youth. You know, that's...
Well, but you know what? Look, it depends what. Like, look, Grand Theft Auto, for example, where you steal people's cars and you beat up whores and all that kind of stuff, you know? You kill people, you hurt people, police. It's like...
It's trash. It's mayhem. It's a trash game,
It's a mayhem sort of thing in my world. But when I have a recreating World War II to view it the way a soldier did, to me that's like unbelievable. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But I get frustrated because I get killed all the time. Right. I'm not great at it.
Right, but that's the thing. They want you to play it again and again and again, hours and hours and hours until you get good at it.
Well, because they want to make it a challenge for you. Because many players, they're like, give me the hardest level. I want, you know, all the hardest things. And they actually make sure that they make the maximum points of everybody out there, you know. So people are crazy about that. For me, it's just, let me go through it like a movie. And don't kill me too many times, you know. Just let me go shoot a few Germans on the way.
No
go
problem.
In the bunkers. Go in the
no big deal.
Know, yeah,
shoot a few.
Exactly.
Leave
you know?
When you want.
Yeah.
Be untouchable.
So that's it. But other than that, I'm not into video games. All those spacey ones. That's all they have is space games and fantasy games. Mm-hmm. And
years ago, I developed a interactive. It was based on gaming technology, but it was live action. So it was gaming technology fueling a live action feature that was completely interactive.
Is that the time like when CD-ROM started becoming like popular and stuff in the 90s or after that?
I started developing this project in 1998. Mm. And
well, that's just as the internet came on board, but CD-ROM was still strong at the time. You know, I mean, because the reason you're bringing that up, because I remember I was on projects where we mixed like live action and animation in a game. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things to do. So at any rate, so overheated playing a World War II game. That was funny. That's 2:30 in the morning. Who was I going to call if something happened?
I don't
Everybody
know.
Everybody was sleeping. So, next time when you're going to have a rush of adrenaline, take off your fucking clothes first. My God, I can't believe this. Man. I never felt that way before. I mean, I felt close to fainting. In fact, I fainted in my life more than a couple times, but never like this. You know, I felt, oh, my God, man, I'm going to throw up in a minute. I got like, what they call it, where your head spins, you know, mm-hmm. It'll come to me in a minute.
You had the spins.
Vertigo. Thank you. Vertigo. Mm-hmm.
I think there's something to be said, though, about those who suffer from bipolar, anything under the bipolar umbrella are the internet, social media, and video gaming are their worst enemy.
Because, really?
Yeah, because the exact kind of attention span that those who suffer with some type of mental issue are drawn into.
Really?
It's the focus. It's the single focus. It's the need to put it all into one center, central thing and stay there. and right. stay there in that focus and tune everything else out.
Right.
And I was having a conversation with somebody about this probably about a year and a half ago, right. who has severe bipolar syndrome, has many of the sub categories under the umbrella too, and he's on permanent disability because of this. He can't function. He can't
even
work.
With medication. He can't function.
He's on several different kinds of medication, but it's his type of mental illness. He's not just bipolar. He's got severe depression, and there is another,
which is part of bipolar.
Yeah.
See, I'm bipolar also, but I've been luckily and gratefully successful on antidepressants for over 10, 15 years
right.
now, you know. So, but I got to tell you, I try to explain to me why the focusing is not a good thing.
Yeah, I need to have some more clinical information on that to explain it the way he did. Like, when he explained it to me, it made perfect sense. And okay. he was just saying this is what his therapist and doctor were saying, that that... It's the that falls under the bipolar.
Okay.
I can't
Spectrum.
Remember. Yeah. Okay. But it's attention deficit disorder.
Okay.
So that was his other thing, is that he's got severe ADD, ADHD.
Right.
And that video, anybody who suffers with ADD, ADHD is usually drawn deeply into video game, and not
right.
just as a passing fling, but as
right.
something that
it does
they,
let them escape and focus on something, right?
Right? But
tune everything
right
out, like
now, what he's saying is that for his ailments, the focus issue, you know, he could focus on social media for hours and hours and hours and never get up, never move, never
yeah.
do anything, just be like lost and down the rabbit hole with it, and
yeah.
and read and focus and do this and that, whatever, and. You know, there's something to that.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I don't know. You know, look, I think my uncle, one of my uncles who's in his 50s now, late 50s, has always had ADD or ADHD. But back in the 50s and 60s, nobody was talking about that. You know, so he went undiagnosed. But
yeah.
he's had a lifetime that shows those characteristics,
yeah, yeah.
those traits.
That's the thing, is that nobody knew about this shit, you know, or in the past, like, for me, I look back in my 20s, I was really struggling with my moods and everything else. And sure enough, but I didn't know I had anything wrong with me. I thought that's the way life should be. And then somebody made me aware in the 30s that maybe there's some shit in our family. So I went and I was diagnosed as depressed, and then bipolar only later on.
Right.
After they tried every antidepressant in the book that didn't work. So, you know, you struggle, man. You struggle.
You
get
you do.
Very deep depression when you're bipolar. And also you get, if you don't get the manic thing in a way where you stay up and live like large and fast, then you're just like irritable and angry all the time, you know. So anyway, that's that. So I would imagine, you know, I mean, so I can imagine where a dog can help, you know, because it is a companion. I mean, it replaces like a human being there. People talk to them, like you said. You know, people relate to the dogs. I mean, I have this guy in my neighborhood, and it irritates the shit out of me because, like, I'll sit there. It's like I'll sit on my balcony or something reading. It's 11:30 at night. And you hear him talking loud from down the street as he approaches, and it gets louder and louder, him walking with his dog. Now, he's on the phone talking very loud. Everybody can hear him.
I love those people.
You know?
Not, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, Mom, you know, so I will be there, blah, blah, blah.
Very
That's
loud
the
conversations
way he talks.
On their phone.
And then he talks to his dog like that, too. Good dog, Opie. I'm like, fuck you, go home, man. Oh, shut up.
I hate when people do that in grocery stores. I cannot stand
right?
when people are talking on their phone in grocery stores. And they pause in an aisle and they block the aisle so you can't get past them. And they have got a very big conversation going on that sounds like the most important thing that's
right.
ever happened.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, talk
yeah.
on the phone, and as long as you don't block the aisles and you don't talk loud, I don't have to put up with your shit, fine. But this guy, I mean, what I'm saying to myself is, doesn't this guy have any, like, idea or any clue even that he may be bothering some people. You know?
No, he has no clue.
No, nothing.
No, none.
Disturbing people. I mean, you're walking around at midnight. Why do you have to shout to your dog? He's next to you. He's
because people like him are on their own planet. Don't you know? It's their planet. We're all welcome to it if we want to join.
Yeah.
If you want to cohabitate with this guy.
I know. They can't see 2 feet ahead of them, you know? That's all they see is that little bubble there.
That and people who drive really slow in the fast lane and act like they don't understand why we're all speeding around them.
Right.
You know, like, how clueless do you have to be?
Yeah.
When you see people whizzing by you and cutting you off and driving, you know, like going around you and you're just putting along in the
fast
lane.
But why is that? It's because it's not a law. If they made it a law that if you slow, you need to move
completely
over.
Completely inconsiderate. Right? It's just completely clueless.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Some people don't do it on purpose. They just don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand they're not supposed to be on that lane.
I think that means they shouldn't have a license then.
In Europe, on the Autobahn, you know, if you're on the fast lane, you're slow, they'll fucking drive you off the fucking road.
Hell yeah.
You know?
It's the Autobahn.
You don't do that shit.
No. You drive, motherfucker.
Right?
On that one, yeah. You go fast.
Yeah, so, I mean, it would be nice to be able to go 90 here without worrying about somebody cutting in front of you. You know, but I got to tell you, man, this driving in L.A., you know, sometimes I don't take the freeways as much anymore, you know, because I don't have to. But when I do, man, you go during rush hour, it's like they say, it's soul crushing. It's mind numbing. It's
a total waste of time.
It makes you want to butcher yourself.
Well,
it makes you want to just...
Right.
You know,
you
got to
wonder
why you're sacrificing
that time. Like, is your job really that important? Is that the job you want? Because if that's a job you want, then that traffic is worth it. If not, that traffic is just a giant waste of time.
It really is. But you know what? Sometimes you have to go, even not a job or anything, but the fact that you go stop and go, stop and go, and you can't move at all, it makes me feel suffocated, you know? And that's what people say. It's like you feel helpless in traffic because you can't escape, you know? You're closed in.
Right.
Then it's not going anywhere. It's like, my God, let me just out of here, you know? And but then you realize there's like pockets of traffic if you start to learn where you go, you know? But the GPS, thank God for the GPS, you know, because it helps a lot. I don't know, man. Do you use GPS like Waze or Google Maps or something like that?
Not
Apple?
Really.
No?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Anywhere.
You
don't
want
to know how long it takes
you
to get there, though?
No, it's too depressing. I am just better have it just be like, oh, you know, like I knew this was going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
I knew the traffic was going to suck anyway.
Right.
I just assume it's going to, you know, it's going to suck all the time. And the days that it doesn't makes you go, oh, my, thank God. I'm so grateful that I didn't have to sit in all of that traffic this morning.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's very accurate, those GPS maps.
Yeah, they're very accurate.
Frighteningly accurate, I mean, to the minute.
Yeah.
It's
just another, it's another video game. Waze is like another video game. Maybe people are like, I'm here. I've seen this. I've done this. Beware. Look out. There's this. There's that. There's people who are.
People are crazy. The one that start marking what they're seeing.
Yeah. Like, and you see all the cars. And you're like, oh, that's so and so. That's this person. That's that person. This is the little name that they're using. And we're all on the road together.
I never even thought about looking at other drivers.
Yeah. That's I don't know why that the Waze app doesn't become a dating service.
Yeah, right.
I really don't. You're compatible with driver A is compatible with driver B. They should hook up on the side of the road.
They have apps for that for not in the car, but walking by, right? Don't
what?
They have that? Yeah.
They do?
Yeah. Isn't that like, wasn't that like a Grindr or something? Isn't that what they call it?
I don't know. I never was
something
on
like
that.
But there was one where if you're in the proximity of that person and they had the same app, then you would get a notice, hey, that person just passed by.
Yeah.
This is them. This is their profile.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So they have something like that. But you obviously have to have a lot of people who own the app or use it in order for it to be effective, you know?
Yeah.
So, but with Waze it could work. But how are you going to focus on that when you're driving? You know? My God, it's scary enough just to... play with the buttons to bring it back. Like, you know, a phone call comes in, it switches from the map. So you want to see the map, you start fucking around with the thing.
And
I'm like, fuck, man, this is
You
got to
juggle that with your vape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And driving.
And driving, you got to deal with your apps, your phone, the people around you on the road. You have to follow traffic laws and juggle your vape in your hand.
Exactly. And go through the, through Spotify. To find the song you want.
And like there's a, like with my car, you know, like I can rewind a song. And so I'm like, I'll hit the button and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Or yes, I only caught half the song or it's only this. And then I got to figure out how am I going to bring back the music?
It happens all the time, man.
It happens all
we
the
get
time.
So friggin' distracted in the car, you know. We really do. People have to be careful.
It's very scary.
Try to focus because every time you don't, you realize how close you are to a friggin' accident. Wow. Thanks for looking at the clock. I totally forgot you're friggin' going overtime already.
Sorry, keep talking.
I know. But we have other people coming after us, so we have to be mindful.
Those other people.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for other shows, of course. We broadcast 24/7. It's really live from 10 till 9 every day. A lot of great shows here and stuff, if I do say so myself. We thank Erica Walker for calling in.
Okay,
we thank you as always.
Thank you for
Tell people
me.
Quickly how they can contact you if they want to. Follow you.
Follow me is more like it.
Follow you. Yeah, don't contact
me. Only contact me if you have real jobs. If you have, if you want to hire me. How can they cut? Well, Instagram, k.brandt. You can find me on Amazon at kbrandt, K-E-Y-B-R-A-N-D-T. Twitter, Jewelbox Films, and Facebook, kbrandt. I'm sure there's probably other couple. My YouTube channel is just my initial, kbrandt. And that's more than you need to get all the information you need to know what I'm doing.
Thank you very much, folks. We're totally out of freaking time. Have a great weekend. We'll see you all on Monday. Bye, Kay.
Have a good weekend.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.